بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ثناء على الكريم دعاء. Praising Allah Ta'ala is also a type of a dua. Because what do you want when you are praising Allah Ta'ala? So obviously, either you want some favor or you want some protection. That's two things that's front of a person. He wants a favor or he wants to be protected. Right? Anything else? So when you are praising Allah Ta'ala, then that's what's before you, that you want his protection or you want his favor. In English, the other word you can use is favor or fear. Right? So sometimes you are anticipating the favor, and sometimes you are afraid of something, fearing something. So the one that has got some understanding, then if there is a delay in something materializing, he will not have that attitude that I make dua, but my du'as are not being answered. Because he's got it in his mind that just making the du'a, turning to Allah Ta'ala, is drawing the attention of Allah Ta'ala to himself. Now, how that attention will draw towards himself, that you don't have to know. But just turning to Allah Ta'ala attracts the blessing, the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So you will notice that the person that is incessantly making dua, you will find a level of sukoon, a level of comfort in his mind. Though he may not get exactly what he's asking for, but he will find some level of comfort, ease, and peace in his mind. So that is why dua is greater than other procedures, right? In life, you adopt procedures, problems, difficulties, then you adopt procedure. And adopting the procedure can be important as well. Neglecting it can amount to a wrong, an amount to sin as well. You just neglected every procedure. So sometimes, neglecting the procedure can cause immense damage. See, now you are on the 30th floor, right? So the procedure is either you take the elevator down or you come down the stairs. That's the normal procedure. So someone wants to go against the procedure and he wants to go to jump from the top. Right? And he killed himself, he died. So you see that he's committed suicide. So sometimes the procedure becomes like compulsory, becomes ferrous. You are starving, the procedure is to eat. Right? You are thirsty, parched with thirst, procedure is you drink water. Right? Now, if you abandon these procedures, then you'll be sinful. They'll say you committed suicide. Right? Because you brought about your own death. Right? And there are situations where the adopting the procedure is good, but is not compulsory. It's good to adopt the procedure, but if someone did not adopt the procedure, then you won't say that he is sinful. Like, a person has got a headache, right? And he doesn't take Voltaren, he doesn't take a Panado or an Aspro. So the headache carries on for a little more than usual. See, normally with an aspirin, it takes one day to clear up. But he didn't take this, it took 2 days. So for that he won't be sinful. Why? Because this is not genuine disaster. Just that the recovery period may be a little bit longer. Right? And the aspirin or the dispirin or the Panado is also not conclusive. It's not certain that it will take away your headache. It may be straight away, it may be after a day. So it's not absolutely certain that it will eliminate. So therefore, in this situation, to go for the means or to go for the procedure is not compulsory. Right? But overall, in all these situations, whether it is dini related, whether it is dunya related, to adopt the means is sometimes compulsory, and sometimes it's good, and sometimes it is just an optional thing. An optional thing now, for example, people talk about jinnat or jadu, etc. Now the person didn't go for the treatment and he's suffering with that problem for some time. So you will not say that he's sinful, because this is just an optional thing. If he does it, then no guna. And if he doesn't do it, then it's even better. There will be 70,000 people that will enter into Jannah without any hisab and kitab. So who's amongst the 70,000 people? Those that don't do ta'weez, etc. لَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ وَلَا يَرْقُونَ وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. So they don't do all these things here. So here it's optional, but it's better not to adopt those means. Our akabir, they were not interested, they were not very much for ta'weez, right? They were for it. But then the question is, then if they were not for ta'weez and whatever else, then why did they do it? So they did it at that point where they saw that people's iman is being jeopardized. If you're not going to get into it, then there are non-Muslims that are practicing this, and people go to non-Muslims, and they may just risk their iman. Or going to a non-Muslim, it will amount to some shirky practice. I will tell you, slaughter one black rooster, put it into this grave here. Right. It will amount to some shirk practice, or drink the blood of an animal, right? So it may amount to some haram practice or some shirky practice. Right. Now, you know a person that's in need, that he'll do anything. There's one person, Fakhruddin Gangohi. So he fell into some problems. In the meanwhile, Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi had passed on. Now, you know, the person that is in problems, in desperation, he'll do anything just to get out of the problem. See, it is a suspended court case for a life sentence. Someone say do this, someone say that's that. So can you understand the suspense he will be at that time? So I was in suspense, and he's scratching his head, kya hoga, what's going to happen? Someone tells him that you must have a feather of a pigeon on your head somewhere, you know, under your topi or under your amama. So he went and did that. Another person went, he went to Pandit or something, said no, you must feed the monkeys, because they worship monkeys. On a Tuesday, you must feed the monkeys. He went and did that as well. So whatever anybody told him, he just did it. Anyway, one day he sees in his dream, he sees Admiral Gangur Sabra has passed on, he sees that he's brave was Admiral Gangur Rahmatullahi. And besides Admiral Gangur Rahmatullahi, he says that's Sheikhul Hind Rahmatullahi. And Hazrat Sheikhul Hind Rahmatullahi is saying, Har Jai ka yahan par koi maqam nahi hai. The person that goes everywhere, here the Hindu everywhere goes, then this is not the place for that type of person. In the meanwhile, Gangur Sahib is sitting, he stood up a little bit, and he says, Lekin Fala Sahib, tumne toba to kya? Ji haan. To phir kya muzaika? You made toba, so now there's no problem now. Anyway, he got up, and he got up with a shock. So, these people say that we saw Admiral Gangur Rahmatullahi, and we saw his khulafa. Right? Sheikh Hind Rahmatullahi, then you get Hazrat Saharanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi, all this with the khulafa. Of Hazrat Gangur Rahmatullahi. But if you wanted to see someone like a replica of Hazrat Gangur Rahmatullahi, it was Hazrat Saharanpuri Rahmatullahi. So as though he was closest on that same manhaj, the same plan. Now that is called fana, right? Fana fi shaykh and fana fi rasul. We have different levels. Proportion to your fana iyad is your progress. The progress, how much you fana. We are showing the seesaw concept. The more you're going to press down, you leave out all your tajweez, your thinking, your planning, leave it out. Proportionately, you progress. Right. Now, you want to use your thinking and the Sheikh's thinking, that means it's not fana'itam. You haven't annihilated your suggestions and your ideas. When you haven't annihilated, then that means there is some weakness. Because you shall know, I must also do something, and I can listen to the Sheikh as well. So then have you showed the full confidence in the Sheikh? You haven't shown the full confidence. I must do, and the Sheikh will also do. So you didn't show the full. When you didn't show the full, then you don't come under the purview of إِسْقَالْ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. Just submit yourself. So you gave a submission, but you gave a half submission, not a full submission. So here Allah wants is full submission. Coming to my path, well, leave your thinking, leave your plans, leave your ideas. Come on my terms. Now you want to come on your terms, or you want to come on both's terms, my term and your term, then that is not that fana'itam. You're going to have problems. I know it was in India, wherever. So we were on the escalator. So one person is putting his head, his one leg inside, coming out again. Inside, coming out. Eventually he fell. But now, he didn't trust the escalator. How he's supposed to be trusting? He trusted it, and he trusted his own thinking. He trusted that thing, and he trusted his own reasoning, right? So then he caused a problem for himself. That required that now, where you don't trust yourself, it's a thing that you didn't see, just come on to me, and it'll go smoothly. But he didn't do it then, because he expected problems after that. So, this fana is like the cornerstone of this whole place, this whole thing. Just give yourself. In fact, in any dini work, you require that fana. Any dini work. In the top masjid, there was one mashwara, around 94 somewhere. 94, 95. The last time that Hazrat Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi had come to grace our shores. So there's a mushra carrying on. And now, obviously, we all will see what Mawla is saying. Because he's now, perhaps after Imam Hussain passed away, perhaps around that time. Or just around that time. So now, he's closest to that. Right? When he's closest to that, then we'll be anxious to see, alright, what he has to say. There's an important subject that is going on. Right? And we want to know now, alright, what is the take of our elders? And amongst the elders, the one that was closest to that manhaj. So, now we found him to be the closest. So I can still remember his words. He said, "Har kaam mein kuch diwano ki zarurat hai." That was his approximate words. "Har kaam mein kuch diwano ki zarurat hoti hai." For any work to take on, the easy English translation is, you need some diwanas. Those that know and understand what is diwana, they'll be able to relate, right? Diwana is just he himself. He's a diwana. They say he's a diwana after woman, right? So, he's not going to use his brain. Could he use his brain? No. He's not going to use his brain. Now, whatever she wants, and he's prepared to do it because he's diwanas. When he's diwanas, is he going to employ his own reasoning? Once I was saying this, you have to be a diwana to come on, right? And then I explain what is a diwana, right? Say now you're really, really infatuated with your Layla, right? Beyond infatuation. So she tells you, alright, if you are really diwanas over me, then for a Jummah, you must come only with the jammies, only jammies, and a small t-shirt. Right? So, are you going to argue with her? You know, but such a horrible clothing. Are you going to say that? Person that is really, really diwanas. Yeah? Will he do it or not? He knows now, this is a challenge, right? And a challenge to prove my being diwana. So, to get his matlab, he'll do anything. So that old man is telling me, you're talking about a jammy and a small t-shirt. He went through this. He was also, the man is late now, I can talk about it, because he won't be hearing now, right? So he's telling me he went through this thing. He was also, once upon a time, a diwana, or someone, right? You know, diwana, see, even if she tells you to be coming naked, you'll do it. See, puri tarah se apni akal ko chhod dega. Leave himself completely. Do anything for the mahbub. See, that's my beloved, and he wants the access to the beloved. When he wants the beloved's access, then he's prepared to do anything. Otherwise, then don't call yourself an ashik. If you are calling yourself an ashik, then the ashik requires a certain behavior. When you're not conforming, then don't call yourself an ashik. Now you're worried about your life, worried about yourself, your personal interest. Then he says, one of whom gives an example, right? But his examples are not stories. They are the points for you to ponder. Ponder. After I tell you, what makes that person, yesterday he spoke about, or that article was about, as Anas. Right? And the rumor had gone through that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Shaheed. So he says, what's the point in life if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not around? We'll go and meet him. And he went into the thick of the battle and he was Shaheed. But now that can happen to the person who's really Diwana. Right? Then Sa'd ibn Rabi and the message that he conveyed to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and to his people, right? Jazakallah anni wa anil muslimina khaira. Right? That was one message. And the message that he had given to his persons, that if any person, enemy reaches the beast of some, and any person's eye is still twinkling, then you got no excuse by Allah Ta'ala. But now that's fana itam, fana fir rasul. But now that fana is not just for a moment. It's a continuous feature. It's a feature that is permanent, not just a day. It's a feature that is perpetual, all the time. You know, one is you have a tooth, right? False tooth. So it's a temporary feature, right? It's got it there. Put it up, and as you need it, you put it. As you don't need it, you take it out. Nowadays, they talk of a permanent implant. So an implant, is that a permanent feature or it's a temporary thing? You see? It's a permanent thing. So that pranayat mustn't be just a temporary thing, it must be a permanent thing. In the days of Etika, for example, pranayat or that, fear will show, alright, next year again we'll do the pranayat. Like how this Ramzan hafiz we get, they put on the beard for Ramzan. And Ramzan goes and says, alright, Yehja or Rohja. One Egyptian, he came to teach in Darul Dioban, right? Those days now, 1939, 1940. So Egyptians don't keep beards, right? So whatever happened, Dioban now, they got him to keep the beard. He kept the beard. Now he's returning back to Egypt. So as he's returning back to Egypt, so he's about boarding the ship to go back to Egypt, 1930s now. So he shaves off his beard and he takes it, Ya Ahl Hind, Khuzu Lihyatakum. Oh Indians, take back your beard. See, do you call that a fana? You don't call that a fana. You may call that a fana galo, but it's not a fana that. It's not a fana. That fana is like a permanent thing. Then you don't aage dekhte hai na piche dekhte hai. Bas mahboob ko dekh karke uske isharo ke upar chalte hai. What's the ishara? Not even his street talk, but what is his ishara, what he wants. So that's called that fana. And the whole taraqqi and the progress is subject to the level of the fana. What is the level of the fana? And then you see it's progressing, it's moving. Right. So the shaykh actually waits for this. He wants to see this because he wants him to be elevated. But the elevation is not in his control. See? It's not in the Shaykh's control to elevate you. It's not there. That's the work of Allah Ta'ala. But the Shaykh sees now, this person has brought himself to this level, then he can see now that Allah Ta'ala wants to bless him. When he sees that Allah wants to bless him, then he also makes dua. And then he gets blessed. An'am Allahu alayhi wa an'amta alayhi. See, Allah Ta'ala favors him and you are favoring him as well. See? Allah Ta'ala is favoring him and you are favoring. So Allah Ta'ala's favor comes when you show your total desperation. La malja wa la manja minka illa ilayk. My only refuge is you, Allah Ta'ala. So at that time, Allah Ta'ala doesn't look na hushyari ko dekhta hai. He doesn't look at your brilliance. He doesn't look at how smart you are. He doesn't look at your lineage. He looks at the level of your sacrifice. What are you giving? So that's what Allah Ta'ala sees. You're giving yourself partially, fully, three-quarter, quarter. How much you're giving? Because Allah Ta'ala's knowledge covers all times. He knows now what's going to be now. He knows what's going to be then. Like this Egyptian. So didn't Allah Ta'ala know that what he's going to do? And he thought now that because of coercion I must keep the beard. He kept it, alright. But there was no coercion now. So what happened to the beard? So it was just a temporary feature. The Ramzani Hafiz, as you're seeing, the beard is just a Tarawih feature. In order to get to the Musalla, they need to keep the beard, so they will do it, they'll conform. And come the Eid day, and the beard has disappeared. See that? So that's not fana. It's just a temporary, or call it a conditional fana. What? It's a fana, but conditional. These conditions appear, we'll do it, and these conditions don't appear, then we'll get away with it. So in order to progress, then this is what the Sheikh looks for. So the Sheikh will put you into different trials. Sometimes you say, I'll get out. And that is where the real Islam is taking place. Now we are just making nakal. What? We are making nakal. Just imitating. But the real Islam was then, right? It's been there so long, and a small mishap, you say, ciao. Move out. Right? Kick you out. Small mishap and he kicked you out. So Shah Abdul Ma'ali now, Shah Abdul Ma'ali, and he kicked out his khas murid, very khas. What was his name? You remember the name? Huh? Shah Big, yeah. There's now, he's this Punjab side. I think when you're passing, going to that Sarhind, we pass his grave. Those now the Hindus are in control of the place. The Sikhs are in control. Right? So the Shah Abdul Ma'ali got upset with him. Ciao, get out. So you're going to see now what's the level of his allegiance. They'll put you into different trials. Different trials they'll put you. They don't want your attention. It's not that they want your attention, your khidmat. But they want to see what's your level of commitment. Commitment is complete, partial, conditional, selective. So they want to see what type of commitment you're giving. You know, you've got a big shop and you've got a manager, right? Say, this is yours now, you must look after this. So, the manager can give you a different type of commitments. You can come in the designated time, 8 to 5, right? Come in. After that, it's not his concern as to what happens to the shop. So, that is one type of a manager. And the other type of manager is, he's there, but his mind is his own business. He's got a shop on the other end of the street, and night and day he's working, he's worried about the prosperity of his own business. So physically he's there with you, and mentally he's there, see. Physically with you, mentally he's elsewhere. So that's also a commitment, a different type, right? Like you're in a marriage now, and the man's mind is in the other wife, is not with this woman here. And with time the woman understands, okay, this person's mind is not in me. He just got married to me for some convenience, but otherwise his mind is not with me. See that? Now, a funny woman, right, and she wants unconditional commitment. So what level of commitment is required when you're coming and threading the path to Allah Ta'ala? Just for her mental happiness, what won't you do? Yeah. So that is a different type of a commitment you're giving. And the third type of commitment is, he's coming in before the time, right? He is looking at the loose ends of the whole business and bringing some reformation, correction. Right? That was not his requirement, right? Then, if there is a fire at some odd part of the night, then he doesn't ignore it. It's not part of his duty. But he'll go and attend to it personally. Why? Because he's given a wholehearted commitment. It's not just a partial commitment, a wholehearted commitment. So, if you want to make a permanent manager, or you want to give him a good percentage of the profit, who will you give it to? First one, the second one, or the third one? So you're asking for the higher perks to Allah Ta'ala, and you're giving a conditional commitment. Right? So this conditional commitment doesn't work. What he requires is a full work. In the meanwhile, the Shaykh threw this sharp beak out. Right? And the sacrifice that this man made was something proverbial, what he did. Now you're talking of this Oliya, say at least about 300 years ago, right? No trains, no cars, it's ox and wagon or horse you're traveling by, right? وَعَلَيْهَا وَعَلَى الْفُلْكِ تُحْمَلُونَ. You can see you carried, that's the literal translation. But the better, easy translation is, you are transported on these animals and the ship. Which translation is easy to understand? So the Shah Abdul Qadir's Rahmatullah is Kamal. So he didn't just see Tahat al-Lafz, but he saw, right, how will people get the proper understanding? What words I must use for the person to get the understanding straight away? I used to catch a carried. So he's a man who go, you know, he's carrying a baby now. But you see, he's transported. Or it straight away. Furthermore, Tanvi Sabrata says that I was teaching in Kanpur for about 14 or 15 years. And I didn't need to work because I had a very wealthy background. Father was very wealthy. But my father insisted that I go and teach for some reasonable amount of time. And the reason is that you have done the kitabs once, but now go and teach it for some time. So that you gain a mastery of all these different sciences that are offered at the madrasa. The science, grammar, hadith, tafsir, fiqh, philosophy, these are all that were offered, right? So when you got a good command over these things here, then you'll be able to use them correctly for deen. I know about this, I know this, I know this. So when I know it very well, right, with a mastery, then you can use these things for deen. But he's just fresh out of the box, and then he goes into some other work then, will he have an exposure to kitabs? Then in time, what will happen to the kitabs? Isme kire aur dimak lag jayega. Yeah. Or what will come into it? What is dimak? Worms, Worms. Now after 10 years, tell the person, hey, zara usool e shashi samjhao. So he says, mujhe to kire nazar aate hai. I can always see ants walking there. I can't understand it, I can't make heads and tails of it. So, Ola's father wanted, he must get the kitabs, get it very, very thorough. Right. So he sent him off to Kanpur. Learn it, understand very well. And Mawlana had a very good command over the kitabs, alhamdulillah, by the blessings of Allah Ta'ala. Very good command. So anything that you want in this life, it comes with a commitment. According to Fana, and I say, it comes with a commitment. You've given that commitment, then you get that understanding. And when you get that understanding, And he says, Morales would say that I worked myself in that 14 years, I worked really well, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala. And in every kitab you'll find some difficult sections, right? Those difficult sections, I would take the difficulty of myself, alright, grasp the content, and now elucidate it, and give it to the level of the students. So, it's a task. And sometimes you've got two difficult issues to discuss in that one lesson, today's lesson, and now you have to grasp the whole thing. Grasp it, and then analyze it in your mind, and then give it in the language that every student can understand. Now that's a double task. But only that person can do it who's got a sincere love for education and for the student. He's got a love for education, he's got a love for the student. Almar Ilyas Abrahamtali, see his style, right? He's speaking to a villager. Villager has got no beard. So he says, dekho ye sarkari ghas hai. This is royal terrain. This is royal terrain. You touch it, the law will go against you. But this is royal terrain. You touch it, the law will go against you. Now that language he understands very well. Now you tell him, Bukhari Shreem mein yeh likha hai, or Falah Kitab mein yeh likha hai, he can't relate. He's not at that level that he understands. So now, to bring the whole issue to him, to address it at that level, that requires that we have a love for the science and love for the person. So now, how must I tell him, what words I must tell him, that his heart will just accept it straight away. See? What is that? Tum diwane ho? Musliman ho? But now he knows that this approach won't work here. This approach may work in a different way, in a different place. Some places that reprimand will work, right? Nabi Sam performed the namaz with Jamaat, and there were two people that didn't join the namaz. So Nabi Sam asked them, have you people accepted Islam? See the straight words. Said, yeah. And then you didn't join the Jamaat, we performed the namaz and then we came. Right? So now, see the type of approach that was used here. So now, that's one class of people. The class of people, that approach is acceptable. See? And another class of people, you use a different approach. The idea is not, meri baat unchi rahe, no. It mustn't be that, you know, what I say must go. It must be that what is supposed to be done must happen. What? One is meri baat unchi rahe. That what I said must go. And the other is that what Allah Ta'ala wants, that must happen. So now you have to change your mind. Adjust your mind now. Okay, what am I supposed to be doing here? I have to do it, but now, what's the approach? So you have to use an approach. So Rajeshji, I said, you know, speak on jihad. So you can speak about these things here, but not know how to, then just cover it nicely. So if you give a good covering, then you don't have a problem. So brothers, you know, when the Russian-Afghani war was taking place, all the governments of the world encouraged that, you know. There was a jihad also. But they all encouraged this. Right? All the kuffar, whatever you call it, the last kuffar, they encouraged all to support Afghan against Russia. Right? But that's not the surah. The Kubra is now So that means when it's the right cause, it means the governments of the world will support what you're doing. See, that's the kubra. Ab hadd usad ab khud nikalo. See that? In English you call it a fact and a law. You combine the both and you come to the conclusion, right? It's a fact. Fact is this, that when Afghan was locked in battle with Russia, then all the kuffar, whether he drank urine or he did some other stupid thing, all of them supported the jihad against Russia. Everybody carried it, right? Right. So that means that if it's a cause that is virtuous and right, then you must support it. That's what it means. See? So it's a different way to package it. Package the same thing, but package it nicely. Yes. So Zen Vidra, Sochna Chaya. But the Shaykh Islam was a Mujahid. And if you look at his life, he was the person who made tajdeed of jihad. What? Ilyas Rahmatullahi made tajdeed of tabligh. But jihad, he made tajdeed. So in his day, there's a jalsa taking place in Burma, and he's invited to come over there. So as he landed in Burma, the brothers requested him, please don't speak out against the English. Because the whole jihad at that time was against the English. Because of the hatred for Islam, and because of them distorting Islam. You must know the history of India, then you'll know the reason for Tabligh. You'll see the reason for Azmaz. Shaykhul Islam Rahmatullah's work. But if you don't know the history, then you won't appreciate it. But if you know already what was going on, and this movement, and this movement. And they had to be. Ilyas would say that had I not been chosen for Tabligh, then I would have done the Shaykhul Islam's work. And if the Shaykhul Islam wasn't chosen for that work, then he would have done my work. See that both are so important, so important. But now, we don't think, just me aakar ke kuch keh dete hai, or we don't understand, we're bulldozing this buzruk, or bulldozing that dini work. Now, this is the work. So that means you're bulldozing anything else. See, in this path here, adab is too important. Too important. The proportion of adab and love you show is the progress. But love and respect you show is your progress. You know, we talk of commitment. What's the level of adab? What's the level of respect? So that's why I tell my friends, right, you can't do too much. Do the faras, sunnahs, some mustahabbat. But don't have an attitude of any type of, smallest type of disrespect. Not the smallest, slightest disrespect. Especially for the seniors of deen, ulama, and those that are seniors, don't show the slightest disrespect. Not the slightest disregard. Our ustad, one of them was Mawlana Fakhrul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah. He taught us Shamai and all that, right? So, you're reading or Ilyas his works. So one of the persons that was in the Shura was Mawlana Fakhrul Hasan also. I don't know if you remember. That was Ustad. So he explains his own experience. Says, just after the partition in 47, he was traveling from Lahore back to Deoband. And as he's, you know, he's preparing, now the train is about coming, so he's preparing his luggage all to get into the train. So one person comes in, he's like a tramp, you know, like an absolute tramp, disheveled, clothes are dirty, torn, no proper shoes, everything is broken down, absolute broken down. And when he saw our Ustad Al-Fakhul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullahi, so he says, he made out from his looks, ki tum Dioban ja rahe, ki you going to Dioban? He said, yeah, I'm going to Dioban. Now this is about 49, 50. Al Shaykhul Islam passed away 57, right? So this is about 50, right? He says, if whatever it is, but please beg Shaykhul Islam for the forgiveness. Just beg him for the forgiveness. He says, when the elections were running high, you know, they were running hot. So we were young and very spirited. So we are on one side, and the Shaykhul Islam side is on another side. And we made sure that we dishonor him, disrespect him, abuse him, insult him. We did everything to do that, right? And you know, in Lahore, I was about the wealthiest person, properties, investments, wealth, everything I had. There wasn't a thing that I didn't own. Leisure, the best woman, everything I had. But then, in that heat of that politics, and that, you know, canvassing, that heat, right, I'm in a different party, and we went to the next extreme to insult Shaykhul Islam. We did everything. We felt appeased, no, we insulted him, put him in place. But then, the stick of Allah Ta'ala is concealed. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. So Allah Ta'ala is watching. He's in ambush, he's watching what's going on. And that stick that is hidden will just come out now. And he says now, that happened, right? 48 somewhere. Before the 40s, right? It happened. Then the partition took place. 3-4 years, right? And then it resulted in me losing everything. Started losing my properties. I started losing my wealth, my house. Then I came to a point, my wife also asked for a divorce, she had to go. Children saw that I got nothing, they deserted me. Now, I'm living off the generosity of the passengers that are boarding the train. Some bread, some left over here, something that. I'm living over that generosity. But what I was the wealthiest person in Lahore. And I did this. And then my businesses, everything just dropped. I got no name, no fame, no wealth, no family, absolute nothing. Or I lost everything. So I say, but can't do much, but don't insult, don't disgrace, don't run them down, don't embarrass them, don't hurt them. Whatever respect you can show, adab you can show that respect, cooperate with them. Can't do much, don't do too much, make dua for them, respect them, love them, and support them wherever you can support them. But now you go on this campaign to insult, to disgrace, to embarrass. For the moment you feel very nice, hey, I put him in his place, I fixed him up. Unfortunately, this is the fashion of the time. Now you're sitting on a walima table, so you must speak out, what this one had to say, what that tabloid had to say, what the radio had to say. Yeah, but this one, I don't accept this one. Now, everybody and anybody are picking on ulama-i-kiram, right? In the meanwhile, you don't have that knowledge to understand the haq, right? You don't have that knowledge. You just pick something from the radio, from a tabloid, from here, from there, and you make up your own mind, right? Now, are you in the position of ruling over them? You know, this whole partition took place. On the one side is Shaykhul Islam, the other side is Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi. So, the Shaykh always asked, which side do you belong to? Which side do you feel is right? Now look, he's teaching adab. He says, see, I'm in a position that both are my elders. And I'm no position to rule over them. their knowledge, like, they call it an ocean. I'm a drop in an ocean. When I'm a seashore, where does these people refer to him, or Messiah, etc. But when he sees their grandeur, their greatness, right? And he says, hey, I don't share a chance with these people. He says, I'm in no position to rule over them. These are my elders, So don't ask me to take a side or to rule over them. See? But now, isn't he showing us adab? Now, I suppose that Shaykh al-Hadith Sahib is learning from Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi. Because Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi was asked, who is greater, Al-Qama or Aswad? Now there are two students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, right? Now it's easy to exchange, you know, I think he's got it, man. He does what he knows. It's easy to, especially if you are at that level of ilm. But now these people of ilm, they're showing you what is ilm. And what's the respect. Now, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi is an imam. And to be an imam, in fiqh, at least you need to know over 100,000 hadith, matan and sanadan. You need to know, right? So then you call an imam, then you can be called an imam in fiqh. Right? But now these people are teaching you what is adab. So Imam Sahib says, that I'm at that level that I'm not even worthy of taking the names. Let alone deciding who is greater. See? But you see the level of respect. Abdullah bin Mubarak Rahmatullahi is he's amongst the very few narrators of hadith against whom nobody made any naqt. Imam Bukhari or Imam Muslim, nobody. Right? And he's addressing a class. So he says, he's also a student of Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi, Haddasana Nu'man ibn Thabit. So one student says, Nu'man ibn Thabit is Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi. So he says, Haddasana Nu'man ibn Thabit. Now one student said, Man Nu'man ibn Thabit. As though he's trying to say, this person is not a popular person, what? He may know him. Say, man, who's he? You know, it's the tone that you speak in that shows what's in the mind, right? The tone that you speak, who's he? And I say, but who's he? See the tone. The tone just changes. The tone changes the state of the mind. You know the state of the mind by the tone. See that? Understand why? The state, you know, your tone says, who's he? What do you think of himself? Who's he? I say, but I want to know who's he. Can you see that? So, Abdullah bin Warak stopped teaching them for about over a month. Over a month he stopped teaching them until they asked for forgiveness, made maaf, everything. But now, today's student will think, but you know, it wasn't that a loss to the education. I say it's no loss. Because an integral part of education is adab. You got that, and then you try. And now, that one student or two students showed that little bit of disregard. And he took it so seriously, he felt that because of the absence of the adab, these people will retrogress. And I have to do something dramatic to bring them to the senses, bring them to the understanding. If I don't do this, then they'll carry on. And they carry on, they will lose out. But now this will be a lesson for the rest of the life. See, that the slightest disregard we showed, and we are deprived of his presence for a month. See that? We are deprived of his lessons for a month. You see that? You see that the importance of adab. And now we think that adab is nothing. So, the better thing for us, people like us, if these things, controversial things are being discussed, especially of senior, sunnah adhering ulama, senior so there's adhering. And they're not attracted to the world. Three things, senior, sunnat adhering, and they're not attracted to the dunya and its fancies. No pictures, nothing, right? They're not in that. They're looking at the original, undiluted. So this class of people, their respect is poisonous. What? Their respect and integrity is poisonous. That means you're interfering with them, or you're talking about them, you're taking poison. And that's going to then collapse everything in you. The little that you got, everything. I don't know about this, please just count me out. And in the walima table, then move away. You know, please, I don't hear about this thing here. I know good about them, and let me just remain keeping a good opinion about them. I don't want to change my opinion. So now you know you're going to listen to something, it may play in your mind. You know? And I ask you, even if it's not an adhering alim, right? Then what's the reason of making him the topic of discussion? Is there any need for it? Right, you don't seem to be agreeable, right? Then you won't refer to him. It's like I tell the people, it's a Quran Sharif with some errors, right? So you know there's some errors in the Quran, in that print, right? Will you disrespect him? Will you put it in a dirt box? What will you do? You leave it in a high place, respect, but you won't refer to it. Right? So same, some are mistaken, right? So you don't refer to them, but don't make them a target of abuse, insult, and disgrace. See, whatever little you got, you may just start losing it. How it comes, a serious person, what he was, about the wealthiest person, and then he became a tramp, just looking for people's generosity on the railway station. From what and from where he went down. See. So, this aspect of adab, and you know, what adab we can show. And then, I just added the fana to it. Right? And how the person just progresses, how Allah just takes the person. But he's my senior, and I cannot discount what he has done. The Shaykh al-Hadith Ramadan, in his zamana, he says, I was still young, and Saharanpur is a big place. They call it Saharanpur. It's not just one small town. Saharanpur includes all the suburbs. Even Deoband comes under Saharanpur. So it's got over about 5-6 million population. Right? It's got such a big population. Even 5-6 maybe even more. You know, at that time it was about 6 million. So it says, just a concern came over me, overcame. I want to see all the people in different departments that are leading in the departments. Whether it's a worldly science, engineering, law, accounting, medicine, right, architecture, whether it's something to do with dunya or something to do with deen, whether Muslim or non-Muslim. But all the people that are leading in that department, that profession. So I got the names, all. I show about 1930s, 1940s. All the names. Then the second thought that came to my mind, right? So I want to see now, what was the common thread in all these people that excelled? They excelled and they are at that level that the whole world looks at them with respect. Now he's looking in a population of about 7-8 million, right? So what was the common thread that was running between all of them? This is not just intelligence. It was their deep-hearted respect. So whether it was a non-Muslim or a Muslim, but he was your teacher. He was your instructor. Right? So whilst you're under him or you have moved away from him, that means you are now over with him, over the studies, but you didn't lose the respect, the other, the courtesy, you didn't lose. So these people that were leading were all that class of people that didn't lose that adab and courtesy for their teachers and their seniors. Then I went on looking again. So there were others that were very super intelligent, right? But they didn't excel. They may have been more brilliant than this class of people, but they couldn't excel. They went to a certain point and they just fell. They went to a certain point and they collapsed. Because then the common thread in them was they were not courteous and respectful to the seniors, Muslim or non-Muslim. But you see that respect. And I showed you what Abdullah bin, who? Mubarak Rahmatullahi. See that? So this element of respect and adab, this is what we need to do. You know this whole Surah Hajj, right? What do you call it? Right? So the aspect of respect is twice. When you azim sha'air Allah. In one ruku twice. So what Allah is impressing upon us, that Hajj is not just a ritual or a formality that you're going through. No. Showing the respect. And then, when I think about this, then I think about the Jamaat work, or the Madrasa work. Right? That if you go to uski, thori si biad bhi dikhayega. You know, it was, for this age, like it was one of the greatest favor of Allah Ta'ala, right? And you showed some disregard, then you're causing trouble. Cause problem for yourself. Some disregard you showed, some biad bhi, right? Whether you're pious or not pious. But it's a gift of Allah Ta'ala for this age, right? And the proof of it is apparent. You can't see any group that's international bringing results. International and bringing results. Can you see anything at that level? You can't see. Now, when it's a gift of Allah Ta'ala and you show some disregard, you didn't show the respect, right? Then you're causing problem for yourself. And sometimes the problem can run through your generations. You and then your children. Why? Which starts from disrespect, disregard. So respect, honor them, cooperate, whatever you can do, do. See, you don't have to go for 1 year. Right? But it doesn't mean you go on the other extreme of disrespecting, disregarding, running them down. Because you don't do it, so then you telling others also not to do it. With your attitude. So that's the way of the Yahud. يَبْخَلُونَ وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ. They themselves are miserly, but encourage others on. So you're not doing it, and you are then discouraging others from doing it. So then, فَمَاذَا بَعْضَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. When the truth has become clear, then, and you moved away, or shows some disregard, then you're asking for problems. So the least that you can do for your own good, show respect, muhabbat, cooperate, help out, whatever you can do, right? Allah Baktuhi Nasi Kareem.